Welcome to this Frequency Matters podcast. I'm Pat Hindle, and today I'm talking with Chris Pearson, president of 5G Americas. Welcome, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So I thought we could get an update on some of the 5G deployments and how that is enabling new applications. So let's start with the status of 5G around the world and how fast are we progressing in the deployments?
Actually, we're progressing luckily and very promisingly at the fastest rate of any mobile generational technology. So faster than 1G, faster than 2G, faster than 3G, and faster than 4G. So as far as the actual deployments go, we are at 167 mobile communications 5G deployments around the world. There's 10 in North America and 13 in Latin America, but again, a total of 167. And when I say we're growing it faster than any mobile wireless technology, I'm talking about the uptake of, with subscribers or of connections of 5G. So things are going very well. Obviously, with the pandemic, there are challenges, but we see a lot of progress in North America, in Latin America, and around the world.
So each G is accelerating faster and faster.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially considering, the pandemic, but there's been a real commitment to the deployment, really, which is the first phase. You need spectrum, and then you need to be able to get the operators working with their partners to, get the deployments out there. And we've seen really good progress in many parts of the world, not all parts. The pandemic is a challenge, but we've seen a lot of progress. And that's why I think that 167 commercial 5G deployments is very good.
So why is 5G different than the previous generations of mobile technology in addressing new use cases?
I think one of the biggest areas of why it's different is it really introduces the capability through its network architecture of really more innovation. More innovation to address different use cases. But it's also technically improved quite a bit over the previous generations. Just as like one example is when it comes to spectrum, never before have we been able to utilize some of the spectrum ranges that we're utilizing with 5G. An example would be millimeter wave. Millimeter wave was not thought of as part of the mobile wireless cellular ecosystem spectrum, but now it is. It's part of the strategy of using low, mid, and high band spectrum to reach the promise of 5G. But when it comes to innovation, you start to look at these innovation capabilities and the network architecture. The reason that we're providing that innovation and architecture is allowing faster speeds, lower latency, and bringing in new types of technologies to support that architecture.
So why do you think 5G can address new vertical markets?
In one word, versatility. And that versatility is, I think, from learning in past experiences with 1G, 2G, 3G, and 4G. 4G LTE is an outstanding technology, and 5G Americas has been very supportive and bullish about what its great advancements have been over the years. But 5G brings in that idea of flexibility and versatility so that you can utilize licensed spectrum of all different ranges with new architectures and start addressing things like private networks or a network slice from a carrier to a diverse use case of a manufacturer or some other type of area. I look at the ability with 5G, the versatility of having to be able to support many millions and millions and millions of IoT devices and sensors in a way that we couldn't with 4G or 3G, 2G or 1G. So versatility is really the word that I would use as why we're going to be able to address new use cases and do it successfully in the years to come.
So you mentioned flexibility as kind of an overall capability. Let's get a little more specific. What can 5G do for the automotive sector, like connected cars, the auto manufacturing floor, et cetera?
Yeah, so at 3GPP, we've been really developing the architecture for CV2X, cellular vehicle to everything. And so although safety is at the forefront of what we want with the automobile connections and so forth, there's much more that can happen. And that's why when our standard and our standard continues to evolve in this area, we want cars to be connected, not just for safety only, although again, that's the priority, but also actually connected to the overall system, whether that's transportation for being more efficient, driving down the road with cars around you, understanding that. Maybe it's in your city for traffic patterns on how I can get somewhere much easier, much quicker, less congestion. For a connected car that obviously would include entertainment and other capabilities that might you might be able to do, not in the front seat as you're driving, unless it was autonomous driving, but in the back seat, being able to actually even work or play in a different manner. So when we look at the automotive being connected, we're looking at a continuing evolution to progress the standard to allow more things. And we believe the overall mobile wireless ecosystem, which includes the carriers and the partners, working with the automotive systems and the cities is the right approach. I don't think you can have this in silos. And when you start to think about the mobile wireless carriers had a built all this infrastructure. And this infrastructure is macro cellular towers, metro towers, micro towers, pico towers. I mean, everything is out there to be utilized for that connected vehicle. And we just don't see that in any other area. Most of the other areas are more siloed. And so it's much more difficult for them to have this connected vehicle as part of everything. And I think there's a lot that we can do in that area.
So Chris, can you tell us a little bit more about V2X applications and what type of network frequencies are available?
Yeah, so this is a great time to ask that question because right now the FCC is looking at moving forward on what's in the United States a 5.9 spectrum, which is the transportation spectrum, which is between, we call it 5.9, but it's 5850 to 5925. And for a long time, that's been set aside for the transportation system, safety system for what's called DSRC. And now the FCC has realized that this has been really underutilized spectrum. And so they put out for comments and 5G Americas will be commenting the possibility of using that 75 megahertz, not for DSRC, but splitting it up. And so what they're looking to allow would be in the lower range of that, which would be 5850 to 5895, that 45 megahertz for unlicensed. And at the upper range of that spectrum, which is the 5895 to 5925, that 30 megahertz for CV2X. So it's a real change in the dynamics of how the FCC in the United States looks at the spectrum. And it's a real opportunity for really CB2X to be able to have some spectrum that's set aside as licensed spectrum to be able to serve the customers in transportation. So it's a real opportunity for the cellular industry. And we're looking forward to making our comments and hoping to make progress on it.
So what are some of the areas that 5G can address in the manufacturing sector?
In the manufacturing sector, we're seeing, and 5G America's just had a webinar about some of these areas, is manufacturing is an opportunity where in the past, most of the manufacturers have used a lot of cables in their factories, or some of them use cables plus a little bit of Wi-Fi. But when you start to have the ability either to have a private network, private networks with 5G, which introduces new architecture like edge computing or cloud capabilities, you can start to replace some of those cables within your warehouse or your manufacturing floor with spectrum. And so it can make everything be connected, not only in your factory floor, but connected to logistics and other suppliers or capabilities outside your factory floor. The other area that 5G introduces in a much more robust way is what's called network slicing. So you could actually have a manufacturer that says, yeah, we want to move to our private type of network, but we don't want to manage it. And we want to have someone with experience to do that. So they could go to a carrier, AT&T or T-Mobile, and say, we want our factory floor to change how we do things, but yet be connected to everything that we do out in that world. And could you come in and provide us a network slice capability with edge computing and manage the whole network for us? So there's a lot of opportunities that we can begin to see on the factory floor. And I must say, I am as you can tell, very enthusiastic about our industry. But we are probably, you know, this is baseball season, and if it was a 9-inning baseball game, 5G really, as far as reaching its potential and promise and doing all the things that we're talking about here, really is probably in the second or third inning of a 9-inning baseball game. And that kind of gives you an idea that the first step is get the spectrum, get the deployments out there, and then start to continue to build on these capabilities for these use cases.
So when considering public versus private networks for vertical markets like manufacturing, how does a company decide what to do?
A lot depends on the type of vertical industry that you're in and how important it is for you to be either have your own, what would be considered own network, but maybe not have to be connected to other areas of the world for your logistics and different things like that. But it also gets to do with your own IT department. Do you want to manage your own network, which would be a private network? Do you want to have that knowledge on your staff? Say if you have a private 5G node, eNode B or something like that, and address your own core network. Do you want to be instead managed by a carrier that does this as part of their everyday lives? So there's a lot of kind of decision points on what type of vertical industry you are, what kind of staffing that you have, and then how you want to have that relationship with a carrier or not have a relationship with a carrier. So there is a lot of decisions that get into that.
So you briefly mentioned network slicing. Is network slicing in 5G a game changer in terms of addressing certain new cases?
I think it is because of, you know, we have had network slicing before with LTE, but when you get to the 5G standard, it brings in a lot of enabling technologies that can really make it a game changer. So network slicing is the capability of in 5G. Again, it was available in 4G, but not with as robust. But it's the capability of a network operator to be able to go to a vertical industry or someone else and say, we can provide you almost your own slice of what would be considered your network. So we can handle exactly what you need on your manufacturing floor, and we'll manage that. And it would be specific to exactly what you want and what you need. And that could be both from the radio access and core components, as well as even how we manage it. Additionally, we could even slice out a piece of what would be considered spectrum to serve you for your manufacturing floor. So in broad terms, it is taking a slice of the capabilities from a mobile wireless carrier's network and providing it to a customer in various means. Again, it could be spectrum, it could be as a service, or it could be specifically exactly what you need to run your business. So if I was a vertical industry and it's Chris Pearson Manufacturing, the idea that Chris Pearson Manufacturing can work with a carrier and have a network slice based on either services or services and spectrum and bring in some of the areas that I want to bring in for edge computing and integration with the cloud, and yet have you still manage that network. This brings in more robust areas for Chris Pearson Manufacturing to have. Whereas before with LTE, the architecture wasn't set up quite in this way to allow these new innovations. I kind of talk about it as, you know, 5G is a technology enabler to other innovative technologies, and yet we are being enabled by all these other great innovation technologies such as cloud and edge computing and things like that.
So with the recent events, everybody is really becoming aware of the importance of security. Is 5G more secure than 4G or 3G?
Yeah, we've wrote several white papers actually at 5G Americas, and we're kind of known for writing white papers regarding security and the improvements that happen. But 5G brings in more security mechanisms than 4G, just as 4G did with 3G. But 5G security mechanisms are both from a standardized point, you'll see in our white papers, but also it brings in, again, more proprietary solutions that can actually help the security of the network and the customer that's utilizing it. But there's no doubt with security really in any industry now, and we've just seen this really with you know, even the what I call the attacks from the bad guys, like we just had with the pipeline company and the gas shortages that we've seen, I believe, in the Southeast. You know, security is at the forefront of really what we do in the roots, and it's in our DNA of mobile wireless communications. So 5G brings in more security capabilities, and we'll continue at 5G Americas to publish white papers on security that really outline some of these areas that we're improving on.
So Wi-Fi 6 has been released. Is Wi-Fi complementary or competitive with 5G for the enterprise solutions?
Oh, it's a great question. I think it's both. You know, if you look at how Wi-Fi 6 and 5G can complement and compete, you have some of the you know, similar capabilities, even in some of the technology that is utilizing for each of them. So you can see that the great minds of, I guess you want to call it Wi-Fi, and the great minds in the mobile wireless cellular industry are similar in their thinking. But on the same side is if you're a Wi-Fi 6, you know, you're not looking at a kind of macro environment. You're more of a, you know, you have limitations for you know, how far your coverage is going to be and so forth. Although that could change at some point, obviously. But right now, if you look at a Wi-Fi, you have proximity, you know, of how far your access point is going to reach. Whereas with a, you know, with a, you know, 5G, there are various ranges depending on the type of spectrum you're utilizing and what kind of cellular system you're going to use, whether it's a macro site, a metro site, or you know, a small cell. So there are, it is both complementary, but it can be competitive, you know, as well.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for taking the time to discuss the status of 5G and how different enabling applications are developing around the world. We really appreciate 5G Americas advocating for the Americas and keeping us abreast of new developments. We hope to have you back again for future updates, and thank everybody for listening today, and join us next time for Frequency Matters.